This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Charlie Herman. And with me, Joan Osair with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And it's that time where we talk about the articles, the books, the magazine-length profiles that we just can't seem to get to during the week. The weekend's here, and it's the weekend reading list. And for me, I'm going to be reading this story called Silencing the Subway by Christopher Magg. It's part of Narratively, Local Stories Told Bold, as they're described. And it's an online publication, basically. And it's looking at the subway system that's being built here in New York, and in particular, trying to figure out ways to dampen the sound. I had spent some time with one company, a structural engineering firm, that really was sort of looking at the different ways of trying to prevent that deafening noise that you hear. And in fact, one of the labs that they have, when you go in, they can actually set up microphones and speakers around you. It's as if you are in different hallways or different concert halls that can play music for you, and you can hear how different rooms work and really the way that they're trying to structure how these systems work and trying to make things silent and more easy and comfortable.
That's fascinating to me because, you know, one of the things when I moved back to New York from London, one of the first things that struck me was how noisy the train is here compared to other cities.
Well, Rana, what are you going to be reading this weekend?
So I am reading, well, all right, I'm going to come clean. I'm not yet reading, but I have read reviews of...
I haven't seen the exhibit. I've gone to the gift shop.
I've gone to the gift shop, the literary gift shop. I've read amazing reviews, and I am going to be picking up Yevgeny Morozov's new book, To Save Everything, Click Here. And he is a wonderful thinker and essayist, and the book is basically taking on the cult of technology. You know, the idea that all these companies that we were talking about earlier on the show are going to make our lives so much better, that big data is going to tell us what kind of music and art are best, you know, that the technology has all the solutions. And he takes that argument apart piece by piece and in some very clever and humorous ways. And I think that it's just what's needed right now.
Well, I thought like big data was going to save us. If I know how many calories I eat, how many steps I walk, how many times I click on my keyboard, that somehow I'll become a better person or we'll be able to find out modes of efficiency.
Yeah, basically. I don't want to know that. I don't know. Joe, do you want to know that?
I really don't want to know that.
We are not quantified selves.
So, Joe, how many words are?
I did once buy a little thing that could keep track of the calories that you use in your daily life, and I never ever used it.
You never put it on. Well, Joe, what are you reading this weekend?
I'm going with the New Yorker this week. This weekend there is a story. It's a great match of writer and subject. Ken Oletta on Henry Blodgett.
That's a great combination.
Awesome.
You know, Blodgett is the former analyst who was disgraced in the Elliott Spitzer Wall Street analyst scandal and had to pay a huge fine and was booted from the industry. And he's completely reinvented himself in that kind of Only in America redemption story, where he now runs a very popular website called Business Insider that covers the world of business in a very sort of sometimes snarky, sometimes we'll do anything for page views, but sometimes really smart way.
But he's been able to rehabilitate himself in a way that many other, you know, traditional journalists, you know, some other ones that have gotten into trouble have not. Why do you think that there's a reason why he has and others haven't?
Well, one reason is that he never was a journalist, but he always wanted to be a writer. So I think that after he left Wall Street and had time to reflect, and he did write an autobiography that was never published. I don't believe he was allowed to publish it. Either because of the federal government or Merrill Lynch, his former employer. You know, Slate started to help rehabilitate him by sending him to China and having him write business for them. And that just morphed into him becoming somebody who became a journalist. And then he became an entrepreneur. And, oh, my gosh.
So the lesson is rehabilitation is possible as long as it's in a different career.
I think that is exactly
that
right.
Is only
unless you're Martha Stewart.
Right.
Well, if you want to read any of these stories, you can find links to them here on the page at WNYC. And don't forget, you can also sign up to the Money Talking podcast available for free on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Joan Osair with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.